everyone. Surprise! We have a little extra episode for everybody today. We weren't actually planning on dropping anything extra for everyone, but we were recording... What episode were we recording, Alicia?
We were recording The Other Side of Hollywood. I believe that's right. Episode 5 of Julie and the Phantoms.
Yes. And after we record, a lot of the times we get deep into conversation about things that are not necessarily Julie and the Phantoms related. So in this case, we started talking about Marvel because we had talked a little bit about it on podcast. And we talked about, I think, Ginny and Georgia a little bit. And we started to get really deep into conversation. And when Alicia was editing the episode back, she realized we might have enough content to actually drop a little bit of an extra episode where we talk about some other things that interest us. But it's going to be a little bit different format than our normal episodes, to say the least. So it definitely deserves a bit of a disclaimer, I think.
Yes. Yeah. We have to note that, again, this was not a planned podcast episode. This was basically just Kat and I talking. So it's very casual. And in that sense, we are a bit of potty mouths when we're not in check, if that's the term for it. So we thought it'd be a little fun to lean into the Marvel aesthetic since we were talking about Marvel. So because this is a PG podcast, we have dubbed over any naughty words, nasty words, whatever you want to call them. We've dubbed them over with Cap's iconic language bit from Age of Ultron. So you'll hear that throughout the podcast. Just know that, yeah, it's keeping things PG for you.
Yes. So any younger viewers that we have, just be aware that we are adults, and this was a conversation we didn't even realize we were recording at the time.
We're hoping you guys find as much joy from this conversation, hilarity, and just the camaraderie of us talking about TV. And Kat, I was so excited about her joining the Marvel fandom and just giving her recommendations. So if you're out there and you're a fan of Marvel and you're kind of starting out like Kat, I also recommend several shows and movies that she can watch near the end of the podcast, as well as give her kind of a rundown of the background of Marvel. Again, this was a super casual conversation. It was not planned. We did not have notes. So I encourage you to do your own research about especially what I'm saying, because as much as I've done my research before, again, nothing was planned. So things are taken out of context and could use a little bit more research on our viewers' end. So if you find something interesting in the podcast that we're talking about, feel free to research it further. And feel free to check out any of the titles and movies that we discuss in this After Hours podcast.
Definitely. And if you listen to the episode and you enjoyed it and you have other ideas of other things you'd like us to talk about that aren't necessarily related to Julie and the Phantoms, we would love to hear your feedback. And maybe we can do more episodes like this in the future. So I hope you guys enjoy.
I find Ginny and Georgia interesting because I heard a lot of things about that show and then I watched it. I was like, this language.
This is like, what is this? Like, what is this?
When the mom, like at the end with the murder, I was just like, what am I?
I know.
I mean, I loved it because I think it's towards like, in terms of pilots, it like played to one effect and then immediately was like, yeah, this is a murder show.
Yeah.
Straight up. Like,
fun. Yeah. But I also like that there's like fun Gilmore Girls moments in it too, just because like when I think about a show like Riverdale, there's like too much like murder and there's like no character moments, there's nothing,
no parents.
There's nothing, like literally it's like they live in a town where everyone's just killing everyone all the time and it's like so tiring. So it's nice that there's like at least a mix, even though it makes for a really weird tone,
very unique tone, I will say. Yeah, I definitely agree with like the characters are not likable. Like, I like them at first, but they just do things and you're...
No.
The next door neighbor guy, I do not find hot. I find him super sketchy and not at all.
Oh, like, Marcus, oh, Max's brother.
He just, like, freaks me out. Like, she freaks me out, but he freaks me out. Like, he's just...
Yeah, I think the
he's
only
too much.
Characters I really love are Joe, and I think Paul is interesting. I don't think he's necessarily like super dis. I oh no no Zion. I like Zion. I like Joe, and I like Max and Marcus's parents. The mom is the lady from
Jennifer Robinson. Yeah,
yeah,
she's really
she's
great.
So good. And then I just love how the dad is deaf, and they just it's not like a tokenism thing. They just put that ASL in that, like that's just what it is. And I that was like something that I think that they did really well. So
yeah, but I like the parents. I think the parents are like more compelling only because they're written properly, like as adults. Yeah, I actually do like Georgia. Like I think she plays to like her part.
I do too. Yeah, the actress is really good at it too.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's the boys of this show. I'm not like attracted
except for
to
the
in
little
way,
kid
because they're a little creepy. Yeah, I like the kid. Like I like him, but like from a romantic standpoint of like shipping anybody or like being like, oh, this guy's really hot. No, like no.
Zion like though, he's.
I don't think I've met him yet. I don't know.
Oh, have you not watched the whole thing?
No.
Oh, I don't.
No, know. No. I only watched like 3 episodes.
Oh my god! I hope I haven't spoiled anything for you. I
know. Okay. And I don't even know when I'll get back to it because I'm like on a Marvel thing right now and kind of consumes everything. So.
Gotcha. I feel that. Fine. It's consumed my life for 2 weeks.
It's a lot, but also like you know you've watched all the movies now. Bucky had like less than 50 lines after First Avenger. Like he didn't have any lines after he became Winter Soldier and even after that. So this was a very jarring week to have an episode
to like see his personality like really start to come through. He's so sarcastic.
Language
love it. It's great. Like during therapy
he is so Nick Miller, and I don't know how to deal with that because I always saw him as like they play him off as like a kind of like a playboy in the first couple scenes of the First Avenger. Like he like you know has a lot of dates and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you see him in this, and he's just like a straight up old man that just
talking
like is irritated.
Talking about his online dating profile, I died. Oh my god, just a lot of weird stuff.
I just love, yeah.
I don't
Bucky
even know what
is
I'm
just
looking at.
Like I know Sam's in this, and I have to like Sam more because he really didn't have a huge part in the movies either. So, like he was like a wingman, but that's it. So I really have to get into a point where I like him, but it's hard because I really like Bucky. So I'm trying not to like become overwhelmed by that because
and,
Sam
like,
is really
the other
great
parts,
too.
Yeah
because Sam is so great, like he also did a lot of the work in the first episode, which
he did
a lot of the setup. So Bucky got all these like really cool scenes, and I'm trying not to like point directly at him, but I'm like, okay, he got to talk to a therapist for 10 minutes straight without any interruption. I don't know how to deal with this.
Yeah, this is so much and so good. Yeah, but you're right, when it started I was like, man, like is Bucky in this? Because like Sam's first like it just goes for like so long, like that first action sequence, I'm like, this is like a very long sequence, and like I have not seen Bucky because I didn't know what I was walking into, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, are they going to be together right away? Like I don't know the dynamic here because they ended Endgame like friends and like in each other's orbit. So I was like, where the
language,
like where is Bucky? Like, and then he's in therapy.
Really was surprised they kept them apart. Yeah. I was expecting full on like they were gonna meet up like halfway through the episode or something. I was not expecting them to do a whole episode. So that's different. But yeah, no, I'm excited to see. I was like total because I got a screener for it, and I'm hoping they send me another one on Tuesday. But it's been really hard because I watched them and then can't.
You wanna talk
about
it, but you
about
can't.
It.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we have a whole group chat that started as like a Legacies group chat, and then it's WandaVision, now it's Falcon Winter Soldier, and I can't talk to anybody about it, and like I just have to sit in it for a couple days. But I was just like, I was losing it every second, like when that Batron guy comes out at the very beginning from Winter, like I loved Winter Soldier, so I was very very gaspy.
Very much like made for you, like
I'm like, this is, you know what, and I think I will end up liking WandaVision better because that show just like surprised me. It was insanely good, like it knocked me like I just am blown away by
it. It's so complex.
But Winter Soldier is very, it's very weird to have a show completely comprised of just like this film that you love from 2014 in like 2021, just with like, you know, these random villains showing up. And then like when Bucky comes through the wall as like the Winter Soldier, I just like didn't know what to do with myself. I was just like, because
dying.
They had shown a clip of it to everybody like the day before the episode came out. So everyone's like, oh, that's cool, Winter Soldier's in it. I'm like, no. I watched this on Tuesday in the middle of the night, and I was just like losing it. Like I was like, they brought him back. Like they just, anyways, I was Marvel's the one thing I just cannot keep my chill about. I'm just like losing it. So
I love that. I'm so happy to be on the hype train now.
I love that you watched all the movies. Even Doctor Strange.
Even Doctor Strange and the Hulk. That one wasn't easy to get through either. Especially it wasn't even Mark Ruffalo, which I really feel like really was a ripoff.
Those dang licensing agreements, like Sony held so many of those back. Like they still, Disney still doesn't own the rights to the Hulk. So that's why he hasn't had, I didn't know this, that he hasn't had his own movie is because they don't own the rights to him. They can put him in ensemble films, but they can't.
And they do all the time. He's in like every film, I feel like, which is nice because I love his character. But just like, it was really weird to see, because like having seen like Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk before, because I had watched some movies, and then to see, what's his face? I don't even remember his name.
Edward Norton, I think.
Edward Norton. It is so weird. I'm like, you are not. Be gone, sir.
it was very bad. And they do a lot of those movies at the very beginning that are very like action, like whatever. They have no plot to them. They're just very like surface level. I found the Hulk
That's
was kind of
exactly
like that.
What Hulk was. Yes.
Oh, and yeah, I didn't know for years afterwards that was the case, because Iron Man was like, you know, John, the guy that plays Happy, like he directed that, so it was very good. But the guy that ran Marvel at the time, that wasn't Kevin Feige, was very sexist to the point that like he was pretty bad about it. But anyways, so like Iron Man 3, that girl's in it. I can't think of her name, but she's like, you know, helping Tony, and then she ends up being part of this like project or whatever as a scientist.
Oh yeah, that girl. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was meant to be the villain of that movie, and I didn't know that for years, but it always felt weird because she just dies. Like they shoot her and she dies off screen, and she's like a main character. And
I'm
sorry, she was
not the villain of that movie at all.
No, but she was set up to be the villain, so that's why that movie is so weirdly paced.
Swerved. Okay, I get it. It is paced really weird. I did like it better than Iron Man 2, though. I thought Iron Man 2 was very messy.
Yeah.
I was like, what is going on here? It just, after seeing Iron Man 1 and being so surprised with how much I loved it, how good it was, I was like, God, I'm so invested. And then Iron Man 2, I was like, what the
language?
Iron Man 2 is terrible except for one scene on the freeway when they're like in the car and they like he crashes the car and the guy's coming towards them and like Pepper's like trying to get him in the car. She's like, get in the car.
Yes.
And then
their
door
dynamic is amazing. Like, oh my God, I love them.
And the door keeps slamming shut and they can't get it open. I was just like, I love this so much. But other than that, the movie's crap. And then like, I know there's a Black Widow scene too. I have to say the Black Widow fight scene was really cool. Like where she fights like 20 guys. I think that's number two. It was highly sexualized, but it was very cool.
That's my issue with Black Widow. I just feel like, and I understand that that's like part of her training or who she is, but I just feel like they focus too much on that, especially in the earlier films, and not enough like on like the other parts of her.
So that's like hard. She's dressed so weird in the original, like in the Iron Man movies, and then in like what's it called, Endgame, like she doesn't dress like that at all. So it's nice to see her evolution. I think I like Winter Soldier the most because it's almost like a solo film for her. Like she gets a lot of stuff in that movie, and she's the only one that really like knows about the Winter Soldier. So I love that scene where she's like talking about, you know, meeting him on the road and stuff. But she gets almost as much screen time as Steve, so I like that.
That's true.
But yeah, so I don't love that they killed her off in the end because she barely got, you know, enough screen time, but is what it is.
At least she's getting her solo movie now, even though that should have happened like years ago, and I don't really understand why it didn't.
And again, I guess that was this guy like that owned the entire company. I refuse to know his name. It's also a really weird name, I can't remember it. But he was like, you know, halfway through a movie saying that the villain had to be changed because the action figures wouldn't sell, or you know, Black Widow couldn't have her own movie because it wouldn't sell, that kind of stuff. So like Kevin Feige took over, I think, around Avengers, so like by then he had to go through with some of the movies, and so it took a long time to like come back around to like the solo movies. And Russo brothers took over for Whedon, so you can see like a huge change there.
Age of Ultron, Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I don't really watch DC, but I did watch the first movie, Justice League, and I'm interested to see the Snyder Cut just to see the difference, because I've already seen some shots where like Snyder's cut is like it's like a zoom in of like Ben Affleck, but then Whedon's cut of the exact same scene is like a back frame so that you can see like Diana's ass. Like, it's just like, dude.
I haven't liked him for, like, I really didn't like him even when he was doing the Marvel, like, Avengers, because I don't know, I've just never liked him. He always ruins things. Like, he never, from a working standpoint, like a career standpoint, he has no plan. Like, he never plans anything out. So even with, like, Buffy and like, the Angel shows, he never had, like, a 4 or 5 year plan, where, like, a lot of women writers and directors have to have, like, plans years ahead, and he just did whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
So it was really always frustrating because he basically almost ran Marvel into the ground. Like, the Avengers movies went off after that. Like, he got the first one, but then, like, the ones after that, you know, he really started to show. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he also ran with his brother, but that had huge plot holes, like, because he didn't know what he was doing. But then on top of that, he's, like, a
language
person now, so.
Yeah, I agree. As soon as the Russo brothers took over, like, the whole franchise, like, the game was changed. And that's too bad about Iron Man 3, because honestly, I think there's a lot of good stuff in that film. And I think it would have been a really interesting twist if she had been the main villain, because in the beginning, I was sold that she was a good guy. Like, I thought that she was in the beginning, for sure.
Yeah.
And then I think the villain sucked. I don't even remember his name or even what, like, his motive was.
Why do I remember his name? His name is Killigan. I don't know.
There's, like, people were turning into burning people or something. I don't know. It was kind of weird, but I still think there's a lot of good stuff. I think Tony not having his suit and having to, like, be his own hero for at least half a movie was actually really interesting. And then the kid at Endgame. I didn't even know who that was at first. And at his
don't worry, I didn't either. A lot of people had to look that up after. Yeah, a lot of people didn't know who that was, because, I mean, he was in Iron Man 3. That was, like, what, 2013?
So long ago. And then he grew up, obviously. Yeah, so he looks completely different. If that's even the same actor, I'm assuming it is. I don't know, because the blip, I don't know, did he get blipped? I don't know. How old is he? But then I found out who he was, and I was, like, wrecked. I'm like, oh my god, I love that kid. Oh no. Like, when
I wish they had brought him back, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, that would have been good.
So cute. But I like Tony Stark's kid. Like, I just, she's the sweetest.
Yeah, she's so
Morgan
cute
is the sweetest. So anyways, there's so much Marvel stuff.
And Scott Lang's kid is, I know she's older now, but when she was younger, oh my god, their relationship is, like, my favorite part of those movies.
I was rewatching the other day the scene for WandaVision, when Jimmy does the card trick. Because I hadn't watched that movie. Like, I hadn't watched Ant-Man and the Wasp a lot, so I actually didn't get that reference the first time because I forgot Jimmy was even in that movie. But I rewatched Ant-Man and the Wasp, and I love that scene where he's trying to, like, dumb it down for her. And he's like, well, it's like when your daddy goes to Germany. Yes. And writes on the walls of, you know, like, whatever, this historical building with crayons. And then, but then immediately goes into, like, this long-winded thing.
It's, like,
this
really complex thing. Yeah.
And the kid's just looking at him like, what? And I just love that guy.
Scott's like, you're really good with kids, dude. Like, you really got that touch.
I wish Jimmy, Scott, and his daughter would just, like, have hung out more, because they were just so cute.
Oh my god, I know. When Scott gives her, like, an ugly toy, and she's like, it's so ugly, I love it. And you're just like, that's so cute.
Even, like, when she's older and he comes up to the door and she, like, sees him, I was just like, oh, that broke me. I was so sad. And it's Paul Rudd, so he's acting like a complete ass. Like, he's just, you know, comes falling out of the truck, and, like, they all think he's dead, and he's at the door, and he's like, hi guys, it's me, Ant-Man, do you remember? Like, he just legit thinks they forgot who he was.
He's a mess. Oh my god, so good. I'm so glad I watched everything. And then in Endgame, I was able to pick up on, like, so many small Easter eggs that, like, the first time around, I obviously had no idea that those were meaningful or mattered. And now I'm like, oh my god, that came together. And look at that. And him doing that, her doing that. There's, like, so many, like, even in the final fight scene, I'm like, oh my god, like, stimulation overload. I can't. It's so good.
It's so great. They do a lot of good tying in, like, over the course of all the movies. Like, it's so fun. I think that's why I just loved it so much growing up. And, like, now when I see, like, you know, when I lose my shit over one person showing up, is because they've instilled that. Because it's like, oh, this little very tiny detail that you remember because you've watched this since you were, like, 8 years old. Yeah, that's here now. Like,
that's
Jimmy with the card
trick.
Yeah. It's so good. And they're doing that with the TV shows so much. Like, the point that I'm just like, Darcy coming back was such a huge thing. But then everything, like, her just being Doctor was such a big part of, like, the Thor movies. And yeah, there's so many little details that they're playing through. But the Endgame really is, like, a fan service in terms of,
it
like,
is.
All
yeah.
the little
in,
things.
In, like, a good way.
I don't know. I feel like Tony Stark, Captain America, they had to end them somehow. So I wasn't mad with the way it, a lot of people were, but I don't know. I mean, one of them was going to die. That was kind of established like years in advance. Like we all, that year between Infinity War and Endgame was brutal because everyone knew someone was dying. They just didn't know who. And it was like, so I always thought it was going to be Captain America. Like when he's standing there at the end, you think it's going to be him. So I don't know. I think I don't like people sacrificing themselves, but I also like that Steve got to be happy with Peggy and they danced and I cried a lot. So
yeah, that's, I think that's a really good ending for Captain America or Steve, I should say, not really Captain America, but I will always believe that Bucky and Steve are like soulmates. I really, truly believe this. I did like, I didn't do it, but in college I studied English lit and we did like this whole like chapter on like queer coded literature, and for like the main example my professor, who was like an 80-year-old man, used the graphic novels or like the comics of Captain America and how Steve and Bucky are written to be like absolutely romantic soulmates, but because of like the heteronormative like narrative of comics they never went there. And yeah, it's so here, and I didn't know like who these people were back then. I'm like, who the
language,
like who are these people,
you who the hell is Bucky? Yeah,
I'm like, what is this? Like, okay, they're buds, okay, whatever. And then even seeing the movies, I'm still, especially after seeing Civil War, I think that was the one where I was like, yeah, like this is like totally romantic to me. I'm sorry, but obviously that wasn't gonna happen in the movie, so I'm happy that he ended up with Peggy. I think that was the right, and like it sucks that Tony Stark didn't get to see his daughter grow up, but I think it made more sense for him to be the one to die.
Yeah, it was really, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he just is one of, he was such a selfish guy, like, throughout, and he always made a point of pretending to be one, too, so him just, like, ultimate sacrifice, yes, it's not, it shouldn't be appropriate, but for a storytelling standpoint, for large ensemble films, in order to appeal to the most people, having the most selfish guy sacrifice himself is textbook, you know, fanfare in terms of making people happy. So I was, and then Steve being the most selfless person and taking that, you know, doing the most selfish thing and not coming back in time and stealing one of the, you know, time, whatever things to go and be with Peggy, even though like it went against everything, like that was very, so I like the contrast in that. And I think it's like super sad for Bucky. Like, I don't know what to do with Bucky because I want him to be happy, but this trauma is actually really good storytelling that they're telling right now.
Yeah.
So, like, they're in the wheelhouse of like, this is super sad, but I'm enjoying all of it. Like, all the Yuri stuff is like really sad, but I'm like, okay, I'm really enjoying this. And it's just so sad because like Bucky can't do any of that. Like he doesn't have any family. He never had, like all his family died, so he can't go back. But then also he doesn't have any family, and like, so he's just kind of stuck. And it's just like, I don't know. I love where they've put him because he's like kind of got nothing, and then he'll have to be with Sam, and he'll probably live with Sam and, you know, raise his children, his nephews.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. So excited. They're gonna have the best friendship ever. I can't wait to see it like evolve. It's going to be such like a buddy couple situation.
The first time that Bucky gets recognized as like a hero, like a kid runs up to him and goes like, you know, like he saves a kid or something, and the kid hugs his arm or something, I'm gonna freaking lose it. Like, I'm just gonna lose it because it's just, he's like been an assassin, and I love the contrast of this very horrible villain and then Bucky, who's like a dork. And so just like, yeah, him having that metal arm back out and being in like, you know, phone videos of him saving people and kids like appreciating him and stuff, especially like kids like in real life lost Captain America, Black Panther, and Black Widow, and Tony Stark. Like, they lost all those, and a lot of kids, true, like they look up to them, like they think they're real. And like, it's really difficult because there was that thing at the Emmys with Chadwick Boseman. I think it was the Emmys, where like they didn't know any actors' names, but they knew who Chadwick Boseman was, and they knew he was Black Panther. And that's really sad because they look up to these people like they're real people, like these characters, and they lost all of them in Endgame. And now we're in a pandemic and they have like nobody. So I really want them to like push Sam and Bucky out there again for kids. And especially Wanda too. And just like, I think a lot of kids look into that kind of stuff. More women.
Absolutely.
Captain Marvel's coming back.
And Spidey. Spider-Man is coming back.
Tom Holland's Spider-Man is easily, like, not even, like, my favorite Spider-Man, just one of my favorite. I think him and Steve are, like, my favorite. And then Bucky. Like, the three of them are just, like, my top tier.
Yeah, he's so good because he's... Spider-Man is actually, like, something that I have watched. I don't read the comics, but, like, I have watched all the Spider-Man movies before in my life, and it was something that I liked before the Marvel stuff. And the thing was, like, Tobey Maguire was a really, really good Peter Parker, but I didn't love his Spider-Man. And then Andrew Garfield was a really good Spider-Man, but I really didn't like what they did with him as Peter Parker. And then Tom Holland, it's just, like... He's both. He's just it's just great. Yeah. It's perfect. And then Homecoming is such a good film, and the villain is so good. It's such a good movie.
Okay. Yes. Michael Keaton. Like, I want to find whoever won, put Katherine Hahn in WandaVision and Michael Keaton in to reboot Spider-Man, you needed a good villain. And I love that they were like, Michael Keaton or nobody. Like, he has to be the first one. He's so terrifying. And a lot of people like say, oh, I don't want to watch like superhero films and stuff. I'll be like, Michael Keaton is in Homecoming. Just go watch Homecoming. Watch the scene in the car where he has the gun.
That's what I was going to say. The car scene is like,
it just freaks me out. Like, he's terrifying. One of those actors. He just terrifies me. Like, he could be in a happy movie and I'm like, it's Michael Keaton. Like, what is he going to rip someone's ear off? Like, I don't know what he's doing. Like, he freaks me out. And so to have him in that movie and just be this like super chill dad, but then also like this terrifying, and he's going to be back too. Like, he's like this kind of like anti-villain type that, you know, respects
him. I didn't know that.
Him.
I'm so excited because I love him as like I don't know him personally, obviously, but like as an actor, I really like him as well. Like, I'm just really
into him. He seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, for sure. So if he's coming back, I didn't know that. I'm excited.
Yeah, because they did it with, what was that? Amazing Spider-Man 2 with Andrew Garfield, like that terrible movie. The end credit scene is the Sinister Six, which again, I don't read the comics, but
I don't either.
The Sinister Six is like all six of the main villains that like hate Spider-Man team up, and the Vulture is one of them. So it's going to be very interesting because I think he has a very like Captain Cold vibe to him where he respects him, and he's also not going to give up his identity. So he just like kind of is, you know, against Spider-Man, but he respects Peter Parker. So I'm very excited because he will break out of prison at some point for Sinister. And I think the next Spider-Man movie is Sinister Six, like whatever everyone after this.
Oh, I'm
possibly
so
this one. I don't actually know what
I know. I think they're language with us on this stuff. Like, for
it's not multiverse.
Movie. Yeah. And then, yeah,
it's not
stuff. I don't know.
I think Doctor Strange is going to be the one that you see a lot of them go in to. Like, yeah. And with Marvel, you don't really know. Like, I could have sworn that Evan Peters was going to be the Quicksilver from X-Men. Like, I didn't think they were bringing X-Men in. I just thought he was the Quick, which is reasonable because he was the Quicksilver from X-Men, but...
Right. So I know people had a lot of crazy theories for WandaVision. I had none of those theories, partially because it was before I really got in depth. But either way, I wouldn't have any of those like, oh, this one little thing must mean these six characters are going to show up. But yeah. I was sold on Evan Peters being more than a nobody. Like, I was like, this is obviously something more because he played Quicksilver for X-Men. Like, that has to be something. And I was like shocked that it wasn't. Like, what? But I mean, like, I was definitely like, that was the one where I was like, that's gotta mean something, right?
I was so sure about that, even from just like a surface level standpoint of him being, you know, and them kind of being like, oh, he's not a real person, but then, you know, toying with us with the fact that, you know, he probably is.
Yes.
That doesn't mean a lot of people were like straight up like, well, he's just not, and that sucks. And I'm like, well, you don't actually know that because he, like, there is a Jimmy references like a witness protection person that's in the town that we never hear about ever. And we don't really know a lot about that guy, and Ralph Boner is like a total fake name. Like, it's just not
so
a real
too.
Name.
Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one that still thinks this might be a thing in the future.
There's something about that rubs the wrong way, and the fact that a lot of people were like, why would Marvel do that? They, even with a pandemic, they plan really far ahead, so they would have known what they were introducing and stuff. But I feel like if they're gonna bring Evan Peters into it, they probably have a bigger plan for him down the road. Like, it's going to come up as, like, another detail 5 movies down the road that he was actually the real Quicksilver, and he was just,
and
like,
isn't,
you know,
Evan
undercover.
Peters, yeah, isn't Evan Peters an actor who would probably want to sign up for it to be something more? I don't know. He just feels like he has, like, the levity of an actor to, like, really be joining the Marvel Universe, not just, like, doing a stint like on this show and then never being seen again. But I'm hoping, because I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I think like the pandemic altered a lot of that at the end. Like, you don't see Kat Dennings again. You don't see Evan Peters. And you don't see Benedict Cumberbatch, even though it's setting up for a Doctor Strange movie. So I have a feeling they wanted all three of those people to be there, and scheduling conflicts just didn't. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Darcy at the end was weird to me. That was one of the things in the finale where I was like, I don't know if I can say this feels rushed, but I just like feel like some things were not touched on that like needed to be touched on. And I wasn't thinking pandemic, which I should have been, but Darcy was one. I was like, they just dropped that.
Disappeared.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, a lot of them had to move on to other projects and just couldn't come back. And unless you were like the main four characters, they didn't need you, then, you know, they kind of just wrote you out. So they probably did like a quick green screen with Kat Dennings on the, in the, like in the car. And then Evan Peters, he's literally on the floor and she rips the necklace off. He doesn't even have a line. And then they blip off to like the next thing. So I would have to think, because afterwards I was like, you know, there were a lot of quick solutions in that episode. And if I had to guess, it was probably pandemic.
That's a really good way to put it. I was like, I can't say it's rushed. It's just like quick solutions, I think, is a good way.
Because a lot of build up to just
so fleshed out. Like, it was just, the pacing was just like flawless on that show. And then it was like, we're wrapping it all up, you know? So that was a little bit, that was like my least, the finale was like my least favorite episode of the whole series, but I still like the way it ended.
I didn't build it. I went to work and a lot of, you know, coworkers were like, well, I think the fly is Mistio, I can't remember what his name is. And they were going on and they're like, well, what's your theories? I'm like, you know what? And this was about like episode 6. I'm like, I don't really care what happens at this point. Like,
it's really,
I haven't been able to anticipate anything at this, like up until now, other than Quicksilver coming into it, because there was like a lot of rumors that Evan Peters was going to show up. So that I did see coming. But so I just like, and I think going into the finale, not expecting a lot from it, and then it just being a story about Wanda, like, and also that was the greatest irony possible, was like, oh, the X-Men are going to show up. Oh, Fantastic Four is going to show up. No, it's just literally about Wanda. Like,
and
it, don't blow it out of proportion.
And that's important. And people that don't get that are very frustrating, because if you would stop like being upset about all that stuff, you would see like how great this journey like really was, and how great like the storytelling really is, how complex it all is. I will say the one thing that I do think is a connect, and I'm bringing the Hulk back, is in her last scene when she's in that cabin. That is so the cabin that the Hulk is in at the end of the Hulk. I don't know if you remember it, because I would block the movie out too. Okay, so at the end, Edward Norton or whatever, Hulk, whatever, Bruce Banner, goes out into like the middle of nowhere to a cabin to really like get control of himself as the Hulk. And the cabin is identical to the one that Wanda's in at the end. And I'm not saying that's going to take or go anywhere, but I do think that was like an Easter egg. And when I caught that, I was like,
I found the cabin really weird. I was like, that's a weird, like, because they usually call back to different things. So I was trying to go through like settings and I couldn't figure it out. So I'll have to maybe watch not that whole movie, but just like search up like the Hulk and credit scenes or something and see. But I have to look into that, because that might be true. Been so long since I watched. I don't even know if I've watched that movie all the way through, to be honest, like when I was way back. And honestly, with you watching the DC movies, like, don't watch them.
I know. I'm not going to watch. I only want to watch the Snyder. I can't believe it's 4 hours. I'm like, I really want to sit through 4 hours.
Apparently, it's just 2 hours in slow motion.
Okay, great. Great. I just want to see the differences. And that's mostly because I just want to see like how Whedon
language
things up as bad as he did. Because when I watched the first one, I was like, this movie is a pile of hot garbage. This is literally the worst thing I've ever seen. It's terrible. So I just want to see like the differences. Like, it's really bad. And maybe that's my Marvel bias, but like, I was like, this is what? Like, this is way worse than even the worst Avengers film. Yeah. Like,
well, and that's the thing. He did Avengers, and Avengers was a very successful movie. It's not my favorite movie, but it is successful regardless. It has good storylines. That said, he did Avengers and then got fired, and then DC picked him up. And they were expecting him to give them like a, because at that point it was a really struggling franchise and they needed like that jumpstart of like an ensemble. So they built all these little films and he was really supposed to like jumpstart kind of like a, you know, Justice League series. And then he botched it so bad and like they lost money. It was just, and they blamed it all on this Snyder guy. but like everyone that knows Whedon knew it was him.
And all the actors hate him and they love Snyder. So obviously that says something about his character. Like, come on. Like,
so, I mean, I'm as much as like, it's just another white man that doesn't know how to write a damn movie. At least it's like, you know, slightly better than what Whedon put out. And a lot of people are saying it's not necessarily better, but it's a better comic book movie, like in terms of the character service and stuff. So as much as it's still very boring, apparently, because it's also like 4 hours long and a lot of it's slow motion. They said like, at least it's bad in a way that makes sense, not like all these weird shots and but like, unnecessary lighting.
Exactly. Like the it's like offensive. Like it's such a, and it, what's so weird is that Buffy the Vampire Slayer is a very feminist show in like a very good way. Like it is smart and it is good for the most part. Does it get every single thing right? No, but like for its time, especially even now, it's very feminist. So it's very unbelievable to me that like Justice League is like a literally like offensive. Like it's just the way that it's, the way Diana is treated as the character is worse than even any female Marvel character. It's like they are just obsessed with making jokes about her body and falling on her boobs. Like it's just like so bad.
I always wonder how much Josh Whedon actually wrote of that show, because it's very different from everything he did afterwards. I wonder sometimes like how much of it was his idea, if he had a writing staff that was majority, you know, female, or if he got a lot of pitches from female. I don't know, but it just, it's like the one off of everything else being horrible.
That's what's so weird.
It's just doesn't make sense to me. And
I would believe I mean, already Buffy was a movie first, so it's like he didn't come up with like the concept of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and the movie is also feminist in nature, so like there's that. But there's so many small things that are feminist about Buffy that, I mean, I have to think that at least like starting probably in like season 3 and beyond, like Sarah Michelle Gellar was like probably driving the, she's probably at the wheel of this for a lot of, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that show blew up so much and she's such like a strong-willed person that I feel like if there was ever anything that didn't sit well, like she was going to be like, that's not happening and, and blah, blah, blah. So I don't really know. It's just, it sucks because I love the show so much, but he's like so garbage. And even the people who worked on the show, like he treated all of them like
language.
So it's like hard to watch, you know.
It's frustrating because it's just like nothing ever gets done about it. Like I know claims came out about that that Rami show. I was gonna
I didn't know that. I do know the show, but I didn't know that there were claims against him.
And also with this Josh Whedon stuff, it seems to happen in every writer's room with a man running a show. And it's just frustrating because a lot of writers' rooms, it's the group that comes up with the ideas.
I watch like All American has a female showrunner and Nancy Drew has a female showrunner. And when you follow them on social media, every time there's a new episode, they're like shouting out exactly who wrote the episode, especially if it's like a woman, you know. And I just think like, I don't know, women, maybe they understand the struggle. So when they get to that showrunner position, they know how important it is to not just like slap just their name on something. And you know what I mean? Like really like point out whose effort like was put into this, because I don't see as many men doing that by any means. There are a few, obviously they're not all bad, but
I know like Jason Sudeikis, like that Ted Lasso is a majority of it is male run, like writer's room and stuff, but they cater to the, you know, female characters very well because they just treat them like
very
humans. Like you don't have to write characters on a feminist agenda. Like there's a lot of men that are just writing women like characters, and I respect that because it seems to be lately, especially with Kenny Ortega too, like he's just writing them as characters first and foremost. And then, you know, the fact that they're women just speaks for themselves. But yeah, I just think some of these other guys are, it's not there. And it's just frustrating that it's still happening. But I liked WandaVision. I like the fact, and Winter Soldier is also a lot of women directing and producing and stuff. So that's really nice, surprising that both of those shows are women run, despite being Marvel properties and majority of them being, you know, run by men. So I really like that. But WandaVision especially, like I know when that Love Persevering line came out, they like immediately the writer's room was like, this girl came up with it, she takes the credit for it, like, you know, it was very sweet of them to do. So yeah, I think those dynamics are really good, and I need to follow more of those and keep aware of which ones are not doing that. So
Agreed, me too. And I just think, like, when you have women, like, you can just write reminisce characters, but then also, like, it's the small things. Like, how would a woman, like, react to this? Like, through the male gaze, it's almost never the right reaction. Or, like, I like how Wanda, like, as she spiraled, became, like, more disheveled physically. Just like I like how in Birds of Prey, that happened too. It's not a superhero film, but you know what I'm saying. And, like, yeah. As Harley Quinn, like, her makeup runs, her hair gets messed up. They need hair ties when they're about to do a fight. I like those little things because those all are so true to, like, women. Like, those things mean something to us. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, I don't like that Black Widow, like, there's a scene in one of the movies, maybe it's Winter Soldier, maybe Civil War. Her and Cap get, like, totally messed up and she's got, like, I don't know, they have to go to Sam's house and her hair is, like, soaking wet and curly. And then in the next scene, it's perfectly coiffed and beautiful and her makeup is flawless. And I'm like, y'all, like, come on, you know?
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that I'm like, it would take such a little effort to just, like, make that more realistic. And I would appreciate it so much more.
I would like to see that more. Yeah, I think, more of the less of the makeup of application. I understand that they're actors and they have to look appealing and stuff. But yeah, I wish Black Widow hadn't always looked like that, especially after, you know, like fighting 20 guys in a row kind of thing. But yeah, I just, Birds of Prey was really cool for that. I remember a lot of guys were like, oh, why does Harley Quinn look so unattractive in this? And then with Huntress, she has like no boobs. And they were like, you know, distraught over that. Like it was the end of the world. But yeah, no, just like specifically a lot of people were upset about Hayward in WandaVision. Like a lot of women didn't want him in it because they thought he was just like a terrible villain. And a lot of guys didn't see him as a villain. And I don't know, I thought like he was the perfect, one of my favorite villains. And not because I liked him, just because he legit just gaslighted the women of that series. And I mean, he didn't get the greatest ending. I would have liked to have seen more like repercussion. 100%. But literally that scene where he's like with Wanda and he, you know, we realize that like everything he said about her breaking the glass and taking Vision is a lie. Like that scene where he's just talking to her and he's so calm and she's slowly getting more emotional and he's playing off that. And he's like basically telling her he's not yours to take. You don't own him. Like he knows what to say to get her angry and he's just pushing it, but he's saying it in a very calm tone. And so like I straight up came across guys online that were saying like, I don't see how he's the villain and she's, you know, the hero. She's clearly the one that's, you know, the villain because in that scene, he's so calm and she's so angry and she's the one that breaks the glass and he never breaks his composure once. And like, he's obviously the good guy in this scenario. And I was like, that's gaslighting. Like they're literally showing you what women put up with in workplaces because you're the type of people that go and say they're the ones that got angry. So they're the ones at fault. And
exactly. Oh God, that's so disgusting to hear. Like I'm just
So many women were like, yeah, I don't like him. And I was like, you know what? I think we need more like Hayward. Honestly, as much as he's like showing that to men, I also think he's showing it in a bad light. Like he's never praised for it. Like straight up Jimmy is always like, dude, what are you doing? Like, no, this is not like, okay. And
yeah, you're disgusting. Monica's yeah, always. Exactly.
So I liked it.
And so many dudes painted Wanda as the villain of the show. And I'm like, y'all, are you watching this? Like, I do not understand. Like, because a woman is going through grief and she obviously made some big mistakes. Don't get me wrong. But like, you're going to call her the villain? I don't. Mm-hmm.
I always look at the Punisher series because so many men idolize Frank. And he's legit just like an assassin. A whole gang murders his family, and so the whole series is him just killing people to get retribution, but he's still a hero. He's like an anti-hero, kind of like Deadpool. And so these guys are like, oh no, he's a good guy, but then they look at Wanda, who didn't even kill anybody.
Like, he's the devil. Like, are you kidding me? Like, dude, like, yeah. You don't know what the show is trying to say to you.
If you want to watch Marvel properties, the Marvel shows on Netflix are not the greatest. I don't suggest the Defenders, but Jessica Jones and Daredevil especially, so good. They're really good. And
okay, because I'm gonna watch Far From Home. That's my next time. I've seen it once, but I want to watch it again. I've seen it twice, I think, but I'm gonna watch it again just because I just watched Endgame. And then I want to go into something else. Somebody told me Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but if I should do Jessica Jones instead, I'd rather see a female.
Yeah, I you know what, I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I do, but it's long. It's hard to get into. Like each episode is like 45 minutes. and it's a drama on a network television series that did not have a huge budget, so it's kind of boring. That said, the first season has a massive twist. Like,
that's what my best friend said. Okay. If you guys both said that, maybe I'll watch the first season and see what's up.
The first season ties into Winter Soldier because for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then Winter Soldier immediately disbanded S.H.I.E.L.D. So they had to put that into the show. So by the end of season one, there's no S.H.I.E.L.D. And I felt so bad for them, but they do an amazing job of the Hydra storyline. And yeah, you should definitely watch the first season. It gets a little weird and I kind of fell off because it gets boring, but Sky, like Daisy, she has a really cool storyline to the end. And I made Shelby watch the last season with me, even though we hadn't watched anything in a while. And we really liked Danielle Sosa, who's in Agent Carter, which is another good show and actually is way quicker to watch.
Oh, okay. My best friend also said Agent Carter is great. Okay.
It only has two seasons. I think it's only like 20 episodes top, so it might be easier to watch. It's also got Dominic Cooper.
It's about Peggy.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, is it the same lady who plays Peggy in the Marvel films?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Okay, good. I like that.
It's her, Jarvis, the actual Jarvis. Like, it like isn't Paul Bettany.
The one that was in Endgame for like 5 seconds?
Yeah, the one in Agent Carter is the real Jarvis. Like, the real guy that was Tony's...
He makes a dad's so it's a driver, right?
Yeah, so he's a different guy. Like, he's a different actor. But when makes like the voice for Jarvis, he bases it off of him. And then that voice is actually Paul Bettany. And then Paul Bettany becomes like Vision. So they're not the same character, but he's based off of the real Jarvis. And then Dominic Cooper is also in it as Howard Stark, who is my favorite iteration of Stark. And they don't bring him back because he goes off to do Preacher, but he's so good in it. So yeah, Agent Carter, I would say do the Netflix series before Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just because there's a lot more there. Don't watch Iron Fist because it's garbage.
Okay.
It's like supposed to be
Daredevil.
And it's not.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I don't like whitewashing. Okay. So Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Agent Carter should be my next three.
I would think so. Yeah. There's Luke Cage. Like Luke Cage is really good, but I didn't enjoy it too much. I like Luke Cage himself. He shows up in Jessica Jones. So like, I think it went Daredevil, Jessica Jones.
Okay, I want to watch in order, so...
Luke Cage, and then Iron Fist, and then Defenders, which was a total bust because of Iron Fist. Okay. So, I would definitely watch Daredevil first.
Okay.
And then if it starts to bring Jessica Jones into it, maybe, like, watch Jessica Jones.
Okay, and Daredevil has the guy from Heart of Dixie that I love. What's his
he
face?
He is so good in it. Like, Charlie Cox is really good. The main guy.
Okay. Okay, so Wade from Heart of Dixie is not Daredevil. He plays somebody else? What's I know nothing about Daredevil. Like, I am...
Is the guy from Heart of Dixie the guy from the hockey movie?
I don't know.
Like, the Ducks movie? Mighty Duck?
No.
Oh, because that's, like... He is, like, a
You mean Joshua
kick.
Jackson?
Possibly. I don't know his name. I don't know. Anyways, Daredevil himself, like, the guy that plays him, Charlie Cox, is British, but he... Like, Daredevil's blind. So that's very interesting, but he's not blind, so like as the character, like the person, he has to pretend to be blind, but he can kind of like sense where people are, so he's playing it up a little bit. Like, he is legitimately blind, but he has like a sense of where everybody is in the room, so then when he's Daredevil, he just puts like something over his eyes, and then like it's a very cool like show. But he's like a lawyer, so people think he's going to show up in Spider-Man, which that is the only cameo I really hope does happen, because he is a lawyer in New York and Peter is like, you know, in super
language
right now in some trouble.
Yeah. I wonder if the other Spider-Mans are going to show up. I don't know, we'll see. He says no, but
I don't know. I would be happy with just Daredevil, because he is such a good lawyer. Like, he's really good at it, so I'd love for him to come into it. But I would
wait. I'm gonna go the show right now. I think I kind of want to watch it. It's good.
It's very Arrow. It's very gritty.
Okay, I can do that.
It's not the greatest storytelling at points. Like, the Netflix series are completely different because they didn't have like the greatest storytelling. But Jessica Jones, I really like too. Her first season is really good, and it has the Doctor Who guy. I can't think. David Tennant.
Okay. Yeah.
Who was Michael Keaton level evil in that show? Like, and it's a case where. It's kind of hard to watch because it's sexual, like, assault manipulation. Like, he really screwed her up. He's, like, her abuser kind of thing. But yeah, he's, again, in that kind of sense, I like that Marvel goes into that and shows.
Yeah, I know, that sounds really interesting to me. I like that complexity. Cool. I'm gonna watch Daredevil tonight. I'll let you know what I think.
Okay, let me know.
I thought my 30 was over, but it's not.
Oh no, you got like, you got 7 seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., 2 seasons of Agent Carter, 2 seasons of Jessica Jones, 3 seasons of Daredevil, I think there was. You know, like, oh god, you got so much to watch.
Oh, I'm excited. Thanks for all the advice.
Yeah, no worries. I'm like, I love this. Language. Come to me if you need anything.
I'm coming to you from now on. Yeah. What should I watch next? Anything?
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to go watch it. I'll let you know what I think after I watch a couple episodes.
Have fun.